Welcome to the Christ Community Church Montreat podcast. Kevin Allman here with Pastor Richard White.
Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning, Richard, on this brisk morning. Well, here's the question that we have, and it's an important one. The world is so different from the one that I grew up in many years ago. There are many people that I work with and know in the community who have never been to church and never learned anything at all about the Bible. The struggle I have is that I don't know how to explain what I believe without using language and terms that they don't understand. Even the word sin doesn't seem to mean the same thing to people who have never studied the Bible. Could you give us an example of how to explain the gospel to someone in a very simple way using plain language that anyone could understand? This is what we're all called to, and it's getting harder.
It is. This really is a great question, and perhaps it's the question as we think about the next generation. The millennials, that generation, those in their right now probably late 20s up to late 30s, they understand some concepts of sin and guilt and salvation. But the generation under them, which we call Generation Z, I don't know how we come up with all these, just A, B, C, D. We're at Generation Z now, is the least evangelized generation in, I think the statistic I heard, in the history of the U.S.
Hmm.
And it's not that they're godless, evil people, but they've never heard the story of the gospel. They don't have familiar concepts of what is sin, what is guilt, what is salvation, even who God and Jesus are. And this is the generation, and more our culture is shifted away from its mooring in the Christian story. And it is more difficult to share the gospel. 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago, it was a common cultural thing to, people had a sense of guilt, that they were sinners. They knew something was wrong with them. And they knew, God, Jesus, and evangelism was, I won't say much easier, but it was easier on a knowledge basis, in that people got it when you said, hey, do you want to go to heaven when you die? Well, yeah, I do. Do you realize you're a sinner? I do. I know I've blown it. And here's the way of salvation. And you present Jesus and the cross and all that. And that, there's still people like that in our culture, mm-hmm. But they're probably in their late 40s, 50s, 60s. Anybody below that does not have that foundation. Mm-hmm. And so you're starting, in a way, from ground zero. And how do you present the gospel then in simple terms, concepts? I think we're living in an Acts 17 culture more and more. And this is Paul at Athens. And there are gods all over the landscape, what people are looking to for meaning and identity, significance, purpose. A lot of it's a materialistic kind of thing. And Paul goes in, he sees all these gods, and he goes up under the Areopagus. I saw this monument, to the unknown God. Well, I want to make him known to you. And Paul doesn't immediately start with Jesus. He starts with this concept of God, and then he dismantles their worldview, that gods dwell in temples made by human hands. And he dismantles that. And then he gets to Jesus. And we don't know how long that sermon lasted. I think we probably just have a summary of what he actually said there. But then when he got to Jesus and the resurrection, of course they, we want to hear you again on this. But some believed. The vast majority did not, but he was laying seeds, foundational things about concepts of who God is, You know, God doesn't dwell in temples like you think, and he's going to judge the world through Jesus Christ. So in Paul's day, in context, he had to go back to the very basics. And I think more and more we're going to have to do something like that. And so, you know, when we talk about a simple presentation, okay, we rely absolutely on the Holy Spirit. And so there can be a very simple thing. I mean, you know, my wife, Portia, and I were on an airplane. This was a number of years ago now, but this guy sits down next to her and he says, I've got three great fears in life. And the first is that I'm going to die and go to hell.
Oh, my.
Lord, okay. Is this an opportunity?
Yeah.
Okay, we will run across people like that.
Right.
And we need to have an answer and, you know, be able to communicate the gospel. So, and the Holy Spirit will prime people like that and bring people like that who are just, they are right there on the edge. Probably there's been some plowing and digging and planting and watering in a person's life like that by others. And we come along and wow, we get the joy of really communicating who Jesus is. But for a lot of us, it's going to be the plowing, the digging, the planting, the watering, and waiting on God to bring that person to that place of commitment. So again, I think we're in a Acts 17 culture. And so the things that are not going to communicate, by and large, are you're a sinner. So, well, you're guilty of what? Well, don't you want to go to heaven when you die? What's heaven? You know, what's hell? There's just not a belief, really, or it's this common Americana. Yeah, there's a God, and when we die, we all go to heaven. That's just the way life is. And but you know, basically, we're materialists. We live for this life, this world, which is my life, my world. And the concepts of atonement and the story of a cross, it's a major disconnect simply because they don't know. But what they do know, and I think here's where our evangelism perhaps needs to take a shift. Everybody in Western culture is interested in identity. And where do you look for an identity? Everybody's looking within. Just look within yourself. And, okay, that's a gospel point because we get an identity in Christ. And, I mean, a simple question is to ask, so you're looking within for an identity. How's that working for you? Do you really know who you are? Yeah. And then we follow that. You have a conversation about that, but you follow that with your story. And here's where it's so vital to know your story. How did Christ meet you and give you an identity? Mm. And then talk about your identity in Christ. Another huge area is shame. We are more and more not a guilt culture, but a shame culture. I don't measure up. I'm not beautiful like these others. I'm not as intelligent as these others. I'm not as gilled or skilled or gifted. can't talk like others. And so we live in this shame culture, and that's huge in most people. Mm-hmm. And to be able to identify in yourself, in your story, how did Christ meet you in your shame? What were you ashamed about? And how did the love of God and the forgiveness of God and the goodness of God, the mercy of God in Jesus meet you in your shame and give you a different story? Give you a different understanding of who you are, and relieve you of the burden of shame, so that you could lift your head and have a confidence that you are loved by God and you're not a thing of shame. And then also embracing your weaknesses and your failings, realizing that's not who I am. I'm something different than that. So I think that's another approach. I think a third approach in our culture today is freedom. We do not see ourselves as in bondage to anything. And we want our freedom. We don't want anybody telling us what to do. And to be able to come under that and to expose how people really are in deep bondages. Yeah. You're in bondage to your stuff. You're in bondage to an image you have of yourself that you can never attain. And you're killing yourself because you're not going to make it. You're not going to reach your full potential, perhaps. You're working hard, but you're seeing the cracks and the fault lines and the fear there that that this thing's, the wheels are going to come off. And a bondage that is. I mean, even the bondage that, well, I've got my moral structure. I've got all these things that I think this is what makes a good person. And some of those may be really very wonderful. But you know what? There's nobody who lives up to his or her standard of what they think this makes a good person. Nobody. And so we don't have the freedom that we think we do. We're in some kind of bondage, a place of failure. Mm-hmm. And again, digging down into that, how has Christ truly given you freedom? And so, you know, shame, identity, freedom, freedom from sin, freedom from my failures, freedom from not measuring up. I mean, all these things that come into the, you know, if the Son sets you free, you should be free indeed. What does that look like in your life? Well, here's the hard work that we've got to do and the spade work. We've got to dig down into how has the gospel given me an identity, freed me from the burden of shame, and truly set me free, you know, from the bondages. And what are those bondages? What were my bondages? And how am I free in Christ? Mm-hmm. And you know, freedom leads to absolute joy and peace before God. And so I've got to know my story, how the gospel has changed me and worked in my life. And then the rudimentary elements of the gospel of, you know, Christ coming, dying on the cross. Sin is a reality. I have failed to honor God by serving myself. And I think some of these, obviously, we can't, you know, set that apart. There is sin. There is disobedience before God. We have tried to find an identity in something other than God, and that will not just fail us, but it's wrong before God, and He will judge that. And so we weave that together, but I think it's just a different platform other than standing on a street corner saying, repent, you sinners. Yeah. People just don't understand that. Mm-hmm. But you dig down into their worldview and the things that are really meaningful in the heart, and I think that will get some purchase. Mm. And I think that's what Paul was doing, just with the, you know, this plethora of gods, all these little monuments and temples, and Paul was digging down into their worldview. You're very religious people. I can see that. And you know, so basically, let me tell you about something about God, that He doesn't dwell in these temples like you've built.
Yeah.
So know your story and know the story, and don't shy away from talking about Jesus. I think sometimes if I mention Jesus, that'll be a turnoff. No, people are already turned off if they're not following Christ. Don't be offensive, but don't shy away from getting to Jesus and talking about who Jesus Christ is, what He's done. This is part of rebuilding the gospel story in a lost generation. Mm-hmm. One of the books that I've read recently and have recommended to some small groups is a book by Doug Pollack called God's Base. Pollack has written this book. Basically, it's a series of asking questions, looking for how do you create a space where you can then talk about God. And it's a short read, but a ton of questions. Mm-hmm. And it's not that you have to memorize all these, but you know, you get an idea of asking people questions, which is a great way to begin dismantling a false worldview. Mm-hmm. You just start poking into the foundation of asking, you know, questions. And anyway, Pollack's book is helpful for that, and I'd recommend it as a read.
What's the title of that book again?
It's called God Space by Doug Pollock, P-O-L-L-O-C-K, Pollock.
Good.
And it's, a good read.
It seems to me that in hearing you talk about this, just going through this process and thinking through these things in context of your own life is a healthy thing to do. Mm-hmm. And the greater degree to which we're in touch with those things, the more healthy is our perspective on our own relationship with Christ. So even aside from the need to be able to share the gospel with someone, this is just a healthy thing for us to do once in a while.
Yeah. I mean, here are conversation starters. You know, you're talking with somebody and say, you know, do you think we live in a shame culture? Just throw that one out there. Or what do you make of our culture that seems to be awash in trying to find an identity? What do you think about that? Mm-hmm. How do you think of yourself? Where does your identity come from? Mm-hmm. And most people are looking within. Freedom. We talk about freedom all the time. Do you think people really are free? I don't know. I see a lot of people in bondage. What do you think about that? I mean, just throw that open and see where it goes and ask, pray and ask the Holy Spirit to lead you and give you opportunities. But then genuinely listen to people too. I think that's, don't do it as a setup just so you can get to the gospel and you've done your duty now that you've told them, about Jesus. No, win an argument, but win the person and be genuinely interested in what this person does think about shame, identity, freedom. Realize some of these conversations, they can last months, perhaps even years, and you may be just part of the conversation in this person's life as God is wooing them to Christ.
Will you pray for us?
I will. Father, thank you for this glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news that you've come to remove our shame and to lift our heads, to give us an identity, Lord, that we can know who we are as your people and you are our God. And Lord, truly to set us free from death itself and from, Lord, the things of this life that destroy life. Thank you, Jesus, for your coming into the world. You're coming into our darkness and shame and bondage and for what you have done to truly set us free. Lord, bless your people. Lord, help us to think deeply about how to communicate the gospel. Lord, we just ask for... We ask for conversions in our church. We ask for adult conversions, Lord, people to come to this place and to encounter the presence of the living Lord Jesus Christ. And we would be a winsome people who can communicate this good news of who you are and what you've done. And Lord, it begins in our homes. It begins in our neighborhoods and places of work. And Lord, would you make us to be good communicators of this grace and goodness and love and mercy of God in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen.